Hey guys, Brandon Junior back with you guys on another episode on Fight Deck Boxing Podcast, man. It's good to be back. I gotta check back in with you guys. I know I've been missing in action for a few weeks. Wanted to get into what's been going on in boxing, which is a hell of a lot. A lot of things has transpired for the past couple weeks, almost to a month. Yeah, where to even begin? Ooh, where to even start, man? I could go either way with this episode. I know Errol Spence and Danny Garcia this weekend. I'm very. What's even the words? I lost my train of thought, man. Yes, you can hear the imperfection. I am so excited for this fight. It's very interesting. Errol Spence coming off a car accident, a year layoff. Wonder what he's gonna look like. Danny Garcia trying to get back in the ranks, try to get a W back under his belt, trying to get back in the conversation. Seem like he's the forgotten big time welterweight in the PBC stable. See if he try to redeem himself. Billy Joe Saunders also on Saturday. That should be like the afternoon time for America. In America, in the United Kingdom, of course, about 8, 9 o'clock, about 10 o'clock over there, against Martin Murray. Solid competitor. But, of course, it's underachieving as a fight because we know Billy Joe Saunders is one of those talents that he should be fighting Canelo, should be fighting Demetrius Andrade, should be fighting all the top middleweights to light heavyweights. But a good fight nonetheless. I digress. Good fight nonetheless. Last week it was a shift in the heavyweight championship, heavyweight division, not championship, heavyweight division. Yes, Daniel Dynamite Du Bois took his first loss to the juggernaut, Joe Joyce. And of course, I'm going to say it because everybody else been saying he quit. He did. Very is a very step back, I will say, for Daniel Du Bois' career. He's young still. He's only 23. So has a lot more time. Joe Joyce proving that he's the most experienced fighter. Joe Joyce had one of the crispiest jabs you will probably see. From a fighter. Good jab. Worked the jab all night. He practically beat this man and knocked him out with the jab. Fight ended, I think. What was the. I forgot which round he ended. Hell, let me see what was the round. But yeah, good fight. Working his jab. Did all the right things. Joe Joyce looked a little awkward at times, but that's just his style nonetheless. Daniel Du Bois looked at amateurish, excuse me, steaming himself out, looking for a knockout. As the rounds progressed, he gassed himself, leaving himself open while moving his head. No lack of defense at all, and because of that lack of defense. He now has a broken eye socket. Lucky enough, he's can manage on with a career, hopefully. How it heals right. I hope his eyes heals correctly. I hope this doesn't be a problem for his rest of his career. But pretty much Joe Joyce was pretty much landing that jab, that strong jab, right jab, all night long on that eye. He left himself open to do it. No defense. I really, yeah. And now I'm looking at the news. Daniel Du Bois may need surgery and faces 5 month layoff. Be out of commission for 5 months. So it's safe to say he's gonna be out for a year because you still have to be out, get the surgery, be out for 5 months, try to get rehab on your eye, then get back in fighting shape because you're not gonna be doing that, no type of exercising. So he has a long road ahead of him. Trying to think which round he got stopped in. I'm looking it up now for you guys. Pardon me if I'm pausing a little bit. Joe Joyce is now 12-0 from the fight, of course. Bout ended. Oh yes, what was it? So. Wrong. Where are we Oh yeah, round 10. Excuse me. That was a knockout of round 10. He lasts about 10 rounds. So that was just like a brutal night for Du Bois because it seemed like that jab just kept hitting that eye and it gave way, and as he was blinking at it, it started swelling shut, and then he just ended up taking a knee. He ended up giving it up. Gritting it out. He received big time criticism for quitting. Dillian White from of course UK fighters, Dillian White, David Haye, name it. I think he needs to get back in the lab and find another trainer. Cause I don't think his trainer knew what the hell he was doing. Cause it's like he did not make no adjustments to try to cover up that eye. No defense. It's no head movement. He's practically street fighting because all he was trying to do was come out for the knockout and power shots instead of working his jab. All the basic fundamentals, he just went out the fucking window for this fight. And I don't blame Daniel Du Bois for this because he's still young. I blame the trainer because, like, what the hell are you telling him in that corner for him to keep on doing the same thing round after round? Starting out, trying to knock him out. Steam himself out, and past few fights, it was lower class opponents. And that being that it was lower class opponents, you're going to look much better against lower class opponents. So now that he faces his first step up, it's like all those skills and everything he was just exposed. Now we questioning the kid's lack of heart because how the fight ended. We question his ring IQ, which a lot of people thought Daniel Du Bois had. This is the guy that's supposed to be like a more vicious AJ. This is the guy that projected to be the heir to AJ after UK boxing is over. The heir to Tyson Fury after after their career is over. I said UK boxing over. UK boxing whenever you over, excuse me on that. But when, to the next one to carry the torch for the next United Kingdom heavyweights. And he underperformed. Now, is this gonna be how his career is gonna shape up? No. You never know. It might. But he has time now to adjust it now so that it won't become a problem later on. But nonetheless, you can't coach heart. How mentally strong are you? That's what we're going to be questioning. How mentally strong are you? When the going gets tough, are you going to just take a knee and give in? You can't do it. Rightfully so, because he didn't cause no permanent damage to his eye, because I think it could have worse if he would have went a couple more rounds. But I don't know where Daniel Du Bois go from here, man. He got a lot of work to do. And I think he needs to start by changing his coach. I would love Ricky Hatton to call in to coach him. Or maybe Peter Fury. So he needs, matter of fact, Ricky Hatton probably be the best one because he needs to get back to the fundamentals. Which United Kingdom prides themselves a lot of fighters having. He looked at very amateurish, and his stock has went down significantly after what we saw last Saturday. Also, last week, of course, last weekend, Tyson, Roy Jones, very entertaining card. Very entertaining card. The laugh of the night, of course, the YouTuber that runs his mouth a lot, Jake Paul knocking out Nate Robinson, a former NBA basketball player. And now all of a sudden, Jake Paul's calling out all the top fighters, Conor McGregor. Just know. And I actually prefer somebody to come in and shut this kid up. Because he's coming in. He's taking it serious. Great. He looks pretty good. But you fought a novice, man. You fought a ex-basketball player who had no business in the ring with no defense, no, who thought he was in a street fight. Stop it. There ain't no more to even talk about that. But don't think for a second, Jake Paul, that you're ready for the champions. Mike Tyson and Roy Jones looked real good, very fit. Snoop Dogg's commentary was on point. Was a great night of boxing, man. Great day of boxing. Also, Gabriel Rosado going against Danny Jacobs. I feel Danny Jacobs did not perform well. He did not perform well. Did not perform well, and I could honestly give Rosado a slight nod in it. I wouldn't be surprised if he did win, because Danny Jacobs was shocked that he did win. Okay, Rosado was boxing him up, was giving a good fight. And I don't know what Mickey Mouse operation them Florida commissioners are on, and what they're doing down there. But I don't know what they saw. I don't know what they saw, man. Because Jacobs really got lucky in that fight. And I don't know what the hell he was doing. But he made no excuses about it. Some people have down nights. Now you got to move on. But I think he needs somewhere down the line to reoffer Gabriel Rosado another fight. He owed that to him because Rosado did pretty well. He did pretty well, man. He boxed very well. And the announcer definitely needs to reevaluate himself by the little mess up where he said from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, Daniel Jacob, and confused the hell out of everybody because I was like, oh man, Gabriel Rosado won. But it was really actual Jacobs. I laughed my ass off, but I was like, yeah, that's pretty fucked up. For the sake of Gabriel Rosado. A lot of fights to get into, man. Very interesting. I'm really shocked on Daniel Dubois though, man. I really am. And I was rooting for him to get it, but a lot of these guys was like, oh, Daniel Dubois can beat Wilder, Fury, AJ maybe. He's not. He won't last a minute with them. And that fight proves it. But I wish him a speedy recovery with his eye. And as Joe Joyce, I'm interested to see who wants to fight next. I think he should fight Joseph Parker next. I think he should be keeping an eye on that Junior Fate fight later this year. What else? Forgot to get you guys. There's a lot of things I missed, man. But I'm not gonna go dig too far back, man. I'll probably bring it back on the episode because, of course, I'm gonna end up talking about these fighters again. Fight coming up now is Kaprapulov, of course, going against Anthony Joshua. That should be the next fight after this boxing weekend. I think that's next Saturday. That's the fight that I'm looking at. Anthony Joshua just coming in to destroy Pulev. I'm sorry, Pulev. It's very interesting what's going on with the talks of him and Fury having a super mega fight. But I think it's on a stalemate because Fury hasn't came out and asked for it. Well, he wants it, but as AJ's been talking about it, Fury's not really talking about it because Fury's in a little bit of a crossroads. Because on one hand, he wanted to fight this year, but he had to postpone it. And the only reason that he will postpone it because Wilder is actually going through with these legal situations with getting him to honor the contract of them getting a rematch. Now he's at a point he don't even know who is he fighting next year. A lot of people say Wilder should get a tune-up. Wilder wants to jump back in the fire now, where they could get their rematch done. So Anthony Joshua pretty much sums it up. I don't know what he's gonna do. I'm not probably maybe I don't know what may happen in 2021. Fury needed to straighten out his affairs first. Rightfully so. It's very interesting that I think Fury has been very quiet, to say the least, on it. Because I think he knows he has to deal with this Wilder situation head on. He just can't ignore it. It's going to be very interesting to see how that played out. But I feel, though, the fight should just happen. Or if the fight doesn't happen, they both fight tune-ups or step-up fighters. And then the next fight should be there. It's very interesting to try to keep monitoring that to see what comes out of it. See what else has been going on, man. But yeah, man, it's a lot of great fights, a lot of great news, a lot of information to just try to talk about. And then I see now, speaking of Spencer Garcia winner, Mario Barrios, which I think is the 140, he's the champion 140, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, super lightweight, yep. He's thinking about moving up to 147 to try to fight the winner of Errol Spence and Danny Garcia, which is pretty cool. I think he should. It's possible because I think a lot of the fights that he could want, all the big fights in 140, it's kind of tied up because it's gonna take a lot of political bullshit to get it. If he's gonna try to get Joshua Taylor, if he's gonna fight Teofimo, whoever, you know. Pagraez, he could probably try to fight Pagraez. That'd be a good fight for him at 140, without a doubt. Yeah, man, I'm just looking around to see if any more. Oh yeah, Clarissa Shields. She's already signed a multi deal with MMA promoter. She says she feels boxing is sexist. And more power to her. I mean, it's possible. I don't know if she's getting bored with boxing, but that's interesting to say the least. But yeah, man, this weekend it should be a good fight. It should be good fights coming up. Yeah, this should be interesting fights coming up this weekend, though. Danny Garcia, Errol Spence, man. I know. I just want to know what you guys think on it. My early prediction, and I'll probably say it now before fight night, because I don't know if I can get back with you guys in time to kind of have an episode. Checking in with you guys. I could see Errol Spence in a close fight, in a close victory. I don't like to project split decisions because you like, okay, judges may flip it, you know what I'm saying, to try to predict what the judges might do. But I could see Errol Spence in a split. A lot of people see Danny Jacobs as, I mean, Dan, not Danny Jacobs, excuse me, Danny Garcia as a favorite. Rightfully so, because we want to see what Errol Spence looked after that major car accident. That is very interesting to see. I just want to see what Errol Spence looked like after the car accident, and what his body is, and what he, how is he taking shots, and where is his mindset is. He looks good. He looks like he's doing it, but he looks like he's still rare form. But we will see you on Saturday night. We'll see you on Fight Night. Danny Garcia, maybe his last hope of trying to fight at a high level in the welterweight division. So he's going to take a full advantage of it. He got his perfect opportunity with Earl. But I wonder if he will get the credit, though, if he beats Earl. You beat an Earl after the car accident. That's the thing I worry about. So if he beats Earl, where that leaves him, as in, will people give him credit for it? Well, he just look as the guy who fought Errol Spence at the a life-changing event happened in his life with COVID-19. How's their training been? Those are a lot of questions, man. It's really a hard fight to kind of predict what may happen. I'm not shocked if this. That's my pick, that Earl will pull it out in a close fight, but I'm not shocked if this fight goes either way because there's so many question marks on it. There's so many question marks. I'm looking to see what may happen. And I will be giving an episode post-fight the day after Spence and Garcia to kind of recap what happened. But it's going to be very interesting to see, nonetheless, what Errol Spence got left in the tank. How his body responds to it, everything. All the accident, COVID-19. I think he also had a birth of his birth of, he had a birth of his kid as well. He had a new kid brought into the world. A lot of things has happened with Errol Spence. We will see how that have an effect against Garcia and what Garcia will bring to the ring to try to upset one of the top pound for pound guys. Oh yeah, since we talk about the welterweight division as well, can't help but talk about the other man on the other side and a messy situation that he's in. And that is Terrence Bud Crawford and his relationship with Bob Arum, where Bob Arum pretty much says he doesn't want to promote Terrence Crawford anymore. He said he's wasting his money. He's wasting time, pretty much. Dana White came out on Terrence Crawford's behalf and pretty much called him a piece of shit. I'm in agreement. Because now this Terrence Crawford says to hell with him and go on the other side and PBC. And it makes sense to do that because all the fighters are there for him to fight. If Errol Spence was to win, how was this showdown? What would this showdown really happen? And I believe Bud should leave. But he's saying, oh, we can work it out and everything like that. Don't be a fool, girl. I mean, that was, excuse me, Terrence. Don't be a fool. Get out of there. He said he doesn't want to promote you. So pretty much he's just firing one of his guys. And I know for a full fact it's kind of coming off as snakish and piece of shit because I know he wouldn't do that to Lomachenko. I know he wouldn't do that to Teofimo. Why do it to Bud? And all he had to do was pick up the phone. Now and it just really shows to me that he had really no plans on putting him in the ring with the fighters he wants. So that's why I feel that Terrence Crawford should just cut his losses and just leave and go over to PBC. Because he's doing the exact same thing he's doing to him as he did to Mayweather years back. He tried to control him, tried to do whatever under the sun. He wasn't going to put him out there. Mayweather said, "To hell with you," and did his own thing. And the rest is history. And it is just some, it's just this beef between, yeah, Earl, I mean, not Earl, excuse me, I'm stuck on this fight, guys, that Bob Arum has over Al Heyman. Because he never wants to want to make the fights with him or try to get his fighters in the ring with him. And I know what you're going to say, Tyson. Well, Tyson Fury and Wilder fought, and Bob Arum was a part of that. Yeah, because that was due to Frank Warren. Frank Warren was the antidote for that madness. For all that. Frank Warren has a mutual good worker relationship with both parties. So it makes you think, like, it ain't only, yeah, by the way, the only reason why Tyson Fury is fight well had that fight. They got the, and by the way, they did the fight beforehand. Al Heyman and Frank Warren. Well, the only reason why they fought on ESPN Plus and ESPN was due to the fact that Tyson Fury signed a little American-like contract so he could get his name out to the American fan and get American fan base started. So he showcased himself on ESPN more. That's how Bob Arum got in the equation. But that's nonetheless, that's but I digress. The point I'm trying to make, man, is some hidden agenda with Bob Arum on why he doesn't want to make deals with Al Heyman and or Floyd. That's why I would say that Lomachenko and Tank would never happen. These fights would never happen. But Bob Arum's time should be coming to an end, man. Because he's holding the boxing community back. Whatever little beef or vendetta he has to give the greatest, the best fights possible to be made. And that's just in my humble opinion, from the outside looking in. I don't know. But Bud is in a sticky situation. But I hope after this fight, Earl will consider to just, he wants to fight him, vice Terrence Crawford. I hope it happens. If he doesn't fight him, Manny Pacquiao's on the list as well. Both of them want Manny. Only time will tell, man. Only time will tell. But guys, that's all I got for you today on this episode. I'll be back with you guys after this Errol Spence fight. Errol Spence, Danny Garcia this weekend on Saturday. Try to get you guys on Sunday to recap and talk about this fight that's about to happen. Should be a good one, guys. Until then, Brandon Ingram Jr., as always, signing out. Talk to you guys again soon. Take care.